It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome to another edition of the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. We are all presented by the good people over there at FanDuel, and we are the podcast talking everything about daily and weekly fantasy sports. Obviously breaking down the matchups, talking about the industry, and what else are we doing? We are bringing you interviews with the absolute best in the industry, kind of picking their brains a little bit, and I'm very excited to have that on board for today, as we're going to be joined by St. Louis Cardinals 84. Of course, he is somebody who is starting to make his name in daily fantasy sports. He's been good for a while, but starting to kind of finish on top of some big tournaments. Just took down a DFBC seat over there on FanDuel. Also has qualified for, I think, pretty much every major event on Draft Street, and took down their big score tournament, which took place within the last month, and took away a nice five-figure payout for that. So I thought, you know what, let's bring him back onto the show, and a very fun story with him, as I'll tell you what, maybe the most committed daily fantasy player you're going to find out there. As not only did he, you know, was able to put together good teams on Tuesday night, I mean, that's not an uncommon occurrence for him, but he did it less than 24 hours after his baby was born. So kind of fun story there, and we'll have that coming up here shortly. As for the games today, not really a whole lot to talk about because there's only a handful, like four games tonight. Now, you can still find tournaments all across the industry, but this interview is going to kind of take up most of the podcast today. So we're not going to be breaking down the games in this show. But all across Roto-Grinders today, you're going to have tons of, obviously, information as we usually do. That lineups page is just about gold when it comes down to putting lineups together. The fact that we sort everything by site, by salary, and, you know, you can even filter certain things out, it is just an awesome, awesome tool. So hopefully you're taking good use of that. And then coming up tonight, Grinders Live from 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern today. It's going to be myself and Soccer Dave Kitchen, and Soccer Dave and I are going to do a little bit of a draft. And if you haven't heard, we're doing a little kind of like an all-star event where I think we decided on 12 or so daily fantasy players who are all fairly well-known, and basically we're going to draft squads, and we're going to run a series of head-to-head matchups, and basically kind of be like a grinder cup or something like that. So it's a neat concept, definitely looking forward to it, and check out Grinders Live tonight from 5:30 to 6:30 for that. Should be a good time, as we're kind of doing the first little, draft, I guess you could say, of not necessarily real players, but of daily fantasy players. So I'm sure we'll have a fun time. We always do on Thursdays at Grinders Live. So definitely check that out right here on Roto Grinders. And so yeah, that's kind of what's going on for today in the industry. Obviously tomorrow's the big day, so we will have full analysis of the games, full breakdown of exactly where you need to be getting on in terms of the qualifiers and what's up for grabs tomorrow. But today, I would love talking to the guys who succeed in this industry, because if the one thing that I often tell you is you got to learn from the people who are good. And whether it's through watching shows like Grinders Live or reading the myriad of columns written by the great players, you kind of got to get into their mind a little bit. So I love doing these interviews, and I always tell you this: if you are new and you want to kind of get better, when you're playing a GPP, look and see which way some of the great players went in terms of their player selection. Look at a guy like Dinkpiece and say, wow, you know, I didn't even think of him, and try to figure out why he chose him on his team. Same thing with all the other great players out there. That's the best, I think, learning tool that we can have, because we get to see everybody's hand. Once roster's locked, everybody gets to see everyone else's hand. So take advantage of that information. That's very critical. But let's get to our interview here. Just having a monster season in daily fantasy sports. A guy who's certainly making a name for himself. I think last year he was regarded as one of the most well-rounded players in that he plays pretty much everything under the sun. College football, pro football, baseball, basketball, college basketball, golf. I mean, he just basically does everything you can do in terms of being a daily fantasy player, and he's one of the best out there. It is St. Louis Cardinals 84, and it's here on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Very excited to bring on our next guest to the podcast. He had a big night on Monday night. Followed it up with an even bigger night. Well, let me take that back. It's not bigger than Monday night, but a pretty big Tuesday night. And you're saying, Dan, the guy qualified for the DFBC. Not too many other things could be greater than that, but we'll let our next guest tell us a little bit what might be better than that. He is St. Louis Cardinals 84. He is on a heater in daily fantasy. His name is Justin, and he joins us here on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. What's up, Justin? Congratulations on all the stuff going on for you these days.
Thanks, Dan. Glad to be back on the podcast here with you for my second visit.
You know, it's always a good sign when you get on the podcast, because that means you've done things well in the industry. And I was excited to have you on the first go-around, and I knew it was only going to be a matter of time before you kind of broke through and had some big wins. And you've had just one heck of a couple of months here, both on Draft Street and, of course, on FanDuel on Tuesday night. But before we get to that, I mean, the big story is, of course, going to Vegas, your first Vegas final there for FanDuel on Tuesday night. But something even bigger in your life happened on Monday night. Tell everybody what's going on.
My wife actually gave birth to our second son on Monday night about 11 p.m. He was about a week early, so we weren't sure exactly when he was going to come, and decided to come on Monday, and so we've got the new addition to our family, and we all came home from the hospital today, so we're hopefully going to get back into the routine of life, but we have two little ones now.
Now, St. Louis Cardinals 84 is your name. So is there any affiliation to his name, to any Cardinals current or in the past?
Actually, no. His name's Noah Christopher, so there's okay. Really no connection there. But, what's the vote on that one?
Okay. I just wanted to check. You know, just need to see how hardcore you really were. But I can say this much. You're a pretty hardcore grinder when, you know, less than 24 hours after your son is born, you still managed to put a few teams into the DFBC on Tuesday night. Also had some teams out there, over there on the Draft Street qualifier, which you nearly took down. So I'm impressed, man. Talk about multitasking.
Well, to be honest, I actually didn't play anything last night outside of the two qualifiers, and I put – I think four entries in the Draft Street qualifier and three entries in the FanDuel qualifier, and really didn't spend a whole lot of time other than looking, you know, maybe at the odds for the night and then the starting lineups. And, you know, I put together everything in about a half an hour and didn't really even get around to checking where I was at on the leaderboards. You know, most nights I'll follow throughout the evening, but I kind of waited until everything was calmed down last night and the wife went to bed and pulled the scoreboard up, and I think I was, you know, in the top 10 at that point, and I was able to watch it through to the end, so that was pretty neat.
So your wife wakes up in the morning, probably woke up, you know, many of times throughout the night, anytime you got a new baby. How does that conversation go, you know, mid, you know, her caring for the little one? Oh, honey, by the way, how does Vegas sound in August to play for $200,000? Tell me a little bit about that exchange, because it probably had to make her happy, but still kind of like, daily fantasy now?
She woke up probably about 11, and we're in the central time zone, so, you know, the late games were towards the 6th or 7th inning, and I said, well, I think I'm about two innings away from, you know, from going to Vegas, and it was pretty sure by that point. There wasn't really anyone that could pass me without something crazy happening, and so I kind of mentioned it to her when she woke up for a second, and there was no response. It was just a, oh, and then back to the sleep. So I didn't really bother her about it again until this morning, and I asked her, I said, do you remember me telling you something last night when you woke up? And she goes, I kind of remember you saying something about your fantasy baseball. And I said, yeah, I ended up winning that tournament last night. So it's weird, and you're probably the same way. You know, they just kind of get used to it after a while. You know, things happen day in and day out, and if you're having success, it just kind of flows. So they're not as into the daily grind as you are, so it's, you know, it takes a lot to get them excited, especially after they've just given birth.
I was going to say, you know, especially in this circumstance, but, you know, $200,000 is a huge, you know, chunk of money that you're going to be playing for, you know, for a first place prize. I mean, you're going to be walking away with something out there. I mean, anytime that kind of money comes into the conversation, I don't care, you know, unless you're Warren Buffett's wife, that's probably going to kind of get your attention a little bit. So she has to be a little bit pleased about that. I mean, you could build a nice college fund with that kind of dough.
Absolutely. That's already been discussed. So, yeah, it'll be fun. And that's, you know, that prize is mind-boggling. And, you know, the disadvantage with me for that, as I'll admit it up front, I don't play on FanDuel nearly as often as I play elsewhere. It's not my home base. That I'm sharper on sites that have the sharp salary structure like a DraftStreet or a Daily Joust. FanDuel, their format caters a lot more to the casual player, and I think that takes away some of my edge a little bit on a daily basis. So I'm not as familiar with playing there. Obviously, I'll get there before we, you know, get out there in August, but the strategy element of FanDuel I'm a little less knowledgeable of than some of the other sites.
Now, it's funny because you say, you know, you didn't do a whole lot of research when you put this team together. I mean, isn't it kind of funny how it works out that sometimes the simpler you look at it, the better you do? Because I was kind of in the same boat as you. You know, I'm in the middle of moving, got a million things on my mind, trying to watch kids, unpack boxes, get the house clean, you know, trying to do a million things here. And then, oh, yeah, I got to put some DFBC teams. And I had one finish in the top 10, too. So, you know, maybe we should just stop overthinking things a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, maybe they say a lot of times your gut instinct is the best reaction. So, you know, if you don't overthink it, sometimes it turns out everyone, you go ask any of the top 50 or 100 players, they can tell you a pretty good story of a time when they've swapped out a guy at the last minute because they overthought. I know you're on record of doing that for the FanDuel basketball championship.
Yeah,
so we've all got a story when it comes to that sort of thing.
I almost had that out of my memory, Justin, until you brought that up. You know, I thought I was past it, and it's funny. But the good thing is, at least you're listening to the podcast. That makes me feel a little bit better. So, you know, like you talked about, you don't play on FanDuel a whole lot. So how do you change things up here? Do you end up playing more tournaments there than you normally would? Are you going to go for another seat into the DFBC since you can have multiples? What's the plan moving forward?
I probably will, you know, try to go for another. I don't keep a huge bankroll there as, you know, as I would on DraftStreet or something like that. And I mean, it's not because I don't want to play there. It's the fact that, you know, I'm probably down funds for my career there, which, you know, that'll just lead me to the sites that I've had success on. And obviously, if I win a pretty good chunk at the baseball championship, I'll recover what I've lost over there. But I'll probably go for a second seat. You know, I'm not going to be putting 5 or 6 entries into all the $200 qualifiers or something like that. But, and those are always the ones that I think I have the best chance to win. I never would have dreamed that I would take down one with over 1,000. You know, you almost have to just, you have to be lucky to take down something of that size. But
yeah,
my mind immediately went to when you go out there with 45 people, whether it's going to be worth it to mini stack on the night of the finals or not. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's going to go through my brain, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I mean it's going to be an incredible experience. I mean, I've been there, I've done that, and I'll tell you what. I mean, you're going to overthink it, but once the games lock, you're going to have a great time. You know, because let's face it, once the game's locked, there's nothing you can do anymore. Just kick back, enjoy the games, enjoy the company, and FanDuel is going to put on a real class, final out there in Vegas. Now, you almost did it, and you almost pulled the double, which is rare. I still don't know if we've ever seen the double in terms of all of the big qualifiers out there where you win multiple on multiple sites the same night. A couple guys have come close. I know DP47 almost did it in football season, but you nearly pulled it off again last night, third out there on Draft Street. So again, you were on it. I'll take it. Mike Trout was somebody who hit both of those lineups for you.
The FanDuel lineup that won, I decided to stack four Tigers and four Angels and punt the pitcher, but the pitcher punt was Tyler Cloyd for the Phillies, and they were playing the Marlins. So that's always, if you're punting a cheap pitcher against the Marlins, is always a good enough option. And so I had, you know, four of the core guys from the Angels, Trout and Hamilton and Trumbo and Kendrick, I think, were the four. And so that's the team that won on FanDuel. But the Draft Street team that almost, the one that finished third, I think, had four Cardinals on it because they scored 10 also last night. But the guy that won, I think it was Rick Militar, won that, and he had Trout and Hamilton. He basically had the same guys that I won with on FanDuel. So it was going to be really hard. You know, I think the Cardinals would have had to score another five or six runs in the ninth inning for me to be able to pass him there and still hang on FanDuel. So it's hard to take them both down on the same, you know, on the same night. So I'm not going to complain about third place is just fine over there.
Yeah, I'd say you probably have some, you know, a nice bankroll building on Draft Street because you actually had your biggest breakthrough as a daily fantasy player not that long ago with the big score out there for Major League Baseball. I mean, how gratifying was it to finally get that nice big comma check that you've certainly been waiting for?
It was great. You know, when I went out to Vegas last year for the Draft Street football finals and finished 15th or something, you know, near the bottom of the 20 that were out there, but it was my first time, so it was a great experience. And then the Draft Street basketball championship, finished third, so that paid, you know, $8,000. So finally got my feet wet with a couple of the big events. And then the night of that big score on Draft Street was, it was the night the Padres were playing the Cubs and the wind was blowing out about 25 miles an hour, and I thought, well, this is my chance, you know. The wind blowing out at Wrigley, even though it's two terrible offenses, that allows you to get some good pitchers. And I think I did four different combinations all from that with the tickets that I had, all from that Padres-Cubs game. And one of them was able to take it down for the $10,000. And that was great. And that was, I think, 250 people in that. So hopefully I'm working my way up to a big, big win, which would be awesome.
Now, where are you in terms of putting in, how much time are you putting in on daily fantasy? Because you are one of the guys out there who plays on a good number of sites. I think you'd probably agree Draft Street might be your home base. But like you say, you branched out to quite a few other sites out there. You know, FanDuel, obviously, you're going to be probably giving them a little bit more action than normal now that, you know, you're in the mix for the big money on their championship. So how much time are you putting in a day? Because you are a working stiff like the rest of us, right?
Yes, I do most of my research at night so that, you know, during the day on a daily basis, usually all I have to go through is check lineups or injuries, you know, last minute stuff. But I'll usually almost always, unless it's the weekend or something, put together a mock lineup or a couple of lineups the night before. And that's usually, you know, my evening task before I hit the hay when the kids are in bed. And, well, kid, but now kids. You know, from like 9 o'clock until the time I go to bed, I'd say probably a good 3 hours a night there with a little time here and there during the day touching stuff up. So it's, and I, you know, I tell people that ask me about it, I treat it like a second job. And, you know, the results have led me to keep doing that. I wouldn't be wasting my time if it wasn't worth it.
Has it ever dawned on you, or have you even thought about making it a first job?
I've thought about it. I'd say right now, you know, there's not much of a chance of that. My wife's a stay-at-home mom to our kids, and, you know, obviously, if I were to do this full-time, I'd have to really, really be comfortable with it because nothing's guaranteed, you know. Although I've had success for almost a couple of years now, there's not a guaranteed check coming in every month or every day, and, you know, there's no benefits, and you have to make it work on your own. And though I've told my wife that if it was ever forced upon me, I would try it. But I'm the type of person, and of course, as an accountant, the safety and stability are two main things in my life, and branching out and doing this full time, it's not that I don't think I could do it. It's just that I wouldn't be comfortable doing it at this point.
Yeah.
But it's crossed my mind.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, it's not for everybody, because you're right. There's that stress level, you know, that almost takes the enjoyment away from it. I mean, yeah. You're in it to win it. You want to make money, because let's face it, all this money that you're making is going to go towards your family anyway. But the pressure that you have is so much greater. I mean, as opposed to where you're sitting now, in that, you know, oh, if things don't go well for a day or a week, I got another job. You know, this is just kind of still my fun money. But that's the one thing that's really hard for a lot of people. To get past. So I don't think you're alone in that. And I think that's what's going to kind of set some other people back, but in terms of, you know, making that leap. But it's always interesting, because I think that you're good enough to do it, but I don't blame you for a second, not necessarily going that route and pulling the trigger. Now, tell me a little bit about your kind of road to success in Daily Fantasy, because we got a lot of people who listen to this show and come to Roto Grinders who, you know, they kind of start at the micro stakes, and they see people like yourself and Dink Piece and Napster Man and Al Smizzle, and they're like, man, I'm never going to get there. How did your road to hoe work? I mean, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I've always been a sports guy, and I think having that base helps, but I think where a lot of people run into an issue is, you know, Joe Smith on the street knows how baseball works, and I just told Joe Smith that I won $10,000, and, you know, people think that they can just jump right in and they know sports and pick it up and, you know, and just put teams in without the research. And the advice I always give people starting out, and this is where I got my start, is you start playing and you realize that you don't know anything more than everybody else you're going up against. Because just in a general knowledge base, everyone that's there is there because they love sports in some shape or fashion, whatever sport they're playing. If they're just playing one, or if they're like me and they're playing multiple sports, the sports that they're playing are probably the sports that they enjoy following or think they know the most about. So the first thing I had to do was get it in my head, no, I'm not smarter than all these other people. So if I want to give myself a chance to have success, I have to try to find any edge that I can to make myself a better player. And if there's a night where I'll look at stuff and I don't like what I see, I'll cut back on the amount that I'm playing. Or if there's a night where, you know, there's two number five starters pitching at Coors Field and it's 85 degrees and the over-under is 12, I'm probably going to play, and I'm going to pick guys that are playing in that game in Colorado, or if the wind's blown out at Wrigley, or, you know, when it comes to NBA season, if there's a team that's got, you know, three or four guys injured and they're down to seven players, it's all about trying to look for any angle that you can that might give you an advantage over your competition. Now, some nights that's hard because, you know, most people do their research, but the ones that don't are typically the ones that end up getting frustrated and wonder why they're not winning. So for me, that was a gradual realization. You know, over the first 6 or 7 months that I was playing, I was probably running a little bit of a loss. You know, I wasn't making any headway, but I was confident that I was learning more about it. And, you know, I was spinning my wheels, but I wasn't depositing chunks of cash or anything like that. And, you know, I think that my biggest strength is my ability to play multiple sports, which I know we've talked about before, and to pick and choose my spots, where if I feel like I have a good lineup, I'll play more than if I don't. And you just learn over time how to manage the ups and downs. And I also believe that, people might call me crazy for this, but I do think that momentum plays a factor in Daily Fantasy. I don't know how you feel about that. And I've never really heard it discussed, but there are times where you just get hot.
Totally agree.
And there are times when you just run cold.
Totally, totally agree. I mean, I think that, you know, for myself, I think that's kind of how I started to build up my role is I just got hot at the end of football season. You know, I had a close call in the FFFC, and then next thing you know, goes into the NBA season, and boom, right out of the gate, I just had some monster days. And it's like once you build that momentum, you build that confidence, it kind of changes the way you play. And, you know, I always tell people, it's you can't run scared playing daily fantasy sports. You know, you have to be confident in what you do. And if that means, you know, moving up the ladder of stakes that you play, you got to do that. And I never play above your means, but you can't expect to be at a level like yourself or some of the other players if you're strictly going to play, you know, $5 50-50 games all day long. I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, that is a major, major, major grind. And, you know, I think the one thing I've learned over the years is there is really good competition at the higher stakes, but not everybody is nearly that great at the higher stakes. So that's one thing that I've come to notice. Now, the one thing I noticed as well with you, what is this with you, like, throwing together golf lineups now? Like, you kicked my ass in golf so many times, and I'm like, there's no way he can have the time to do golf on top of everything else. Is this new, or is this like, where did this come from?
You have a fixation with this golf thing with me, don't you?
I do. Like, it's we always end up facing off in golf. I don't know why, but we always end up doing it. And I had you beat the other day until frickin' Billy Horschel, you know, ends up winning the tournament, gets the bonus points, and boom, I lose. You lose to you again every time.
Well, it's funny because I never really played the golf on there. I am a, you know, it's one of my hobbies. I do play golf. I attempt to play golf. I'm terrible, but as an accountant, we all play golf. So I play golf and followed the PGA kind of every now and again. You know, I wasn't a dedicated follower, but I started to look at it, and I have a coworker who's also playing on Draft Street a little bit, and he's a pretty big golf fan. So, you know, one time we kind of got together and said, hey, maybe we can research some of this golf. And towards the end of last year, I played a little bit, you know, $100 a week or something just to try to get my feet wet with the golf. And I think I had 10 consecutive winning weeks to end last year. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to make that one of my staples this next year because, you know, when you play it every week, you start to get to know the players a little bit because they play for 4 days every week. So you get to, and I was talking to Dink Piece the other day, and he said, boy, you start playing this and you realize which guys are an adventure out there on the course and which guys are more steady. And you start to learn, as crazy as it sounds, you start to learn what type of courses suit what type of player. And that's another, like I said, that's another type of advantage you can get over the recreational person that's just trying to, you know, go find a golfer that they've heard of before or, you know, maybe using one research tool or something, because it's not easy to find research tools for golf. It's not. I have some that I trust, and you know, I had some terrible weeks. Probably the 2 weeks after I beat you there with Billy Horschel, I don't think I won a game for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
I had a profitable week last week again, but
that, you know, it's only fitting you start going in the tank after you beat me and I say, you know, I'm done playing St. Louis Cardinals 84.
I was terrible. Like 2 weeks ago, I only had two guys make the cut, so that was the week to get me.
Just know college football is like 100 days away, and I'll win that money back come college football time, okay? Just know that.
That'll be a good time of year.
Well, Justin, congratulations first off on the addition to the family. Congratulations on all the success in daily fantasy. Certainly seeing you out in Vegas is going to be a good time playing for that kind of sum of money. And I'm sure we'll hear more from you before then. But congrats again for all that stuff, my man.
Thank you. And it's, you know, it's going to be a great field out there. It's already loaded with grinders that have already qualified, and we're still only in the, you know, the middle of May. So it'll be a great crew out there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks again for your time.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Have a good one.
So So let me tell you a little bit about my friends over there at FanDuel. Obviously, we often talk about the DFBC. Our last guest, Justin, just has got his seat into that big championship. And don't think you can't do it yourself. I'll tell you, tonight is a great night to maybe jump in one of the 109 satellite tournaments. Those are satellite tournaments. I think they cost about $5 to get in. You take down that tournament, then you get a seat into the 109 tournament that's going to take place on Saturday night for the DFBC. I love that because the odds of winning that tournament far greater than they're going to be, you know, winning the one on Friday night. Not to say you shouldn't take a shot at that one, because if you don't play, you can't win. But if you look at it from a competition standpoint, a lot less competition you got to worry about on Saturday night. So in a game day like tonight, where there's only a handful of games, you might not want to play really heavy. How about trying your hand at a couple of satellite tournaments for the DFBC? You can do that over on FanDuel. They do have GPPs going on. If you still are a hockey nut, they actually do have some NHL games as well out there in their draft lobby, so you can jump on those. But bottom line is FanDuel is getting it done. Great player pricing this season. Very impressed with their game. And the simplest interface I think you're going to find anywhere. They certainly cater to a lot of the newer players out there, but wily veterans, I'll tell you what, the great thing about that site is you get a lot of new players. You very rarely play the same person over again unless you want to. Now, there might be a guy who grabs a couple of your games, but for the most part, you can go through that draft lobby and the selection, the wide selection of players that they have in their player base is really second to none in the industry. So lots of great reasons to play at FanDuel, including the fact that they support this podcast, and I thank them so much for that. So please, go over there, make your deposit, go through our links, get your incentives, and you'll be loaded up. It's FanDuel.com. And with that, I am done for today. We'll be back tonight, 5:30 to 6:30 on Grinders Live. Of course, that's Eastern Time. Should be a fun time on that show. Always is. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter. It is at RotoGrinders. You can catch me at Dan_Bach. And always looking for any feedback you have about the show or anything else Grinders related. As we try to be your daily fantasy sports authority. I think we're doing a pretty good job there. Also, go to iTunes. You'll find this podcast over there. Subscribe to it. Therefore, you'll get it each and every day. Till tomorrow, everyone, have yourself a terrific Thursday night, and we will see ya.